where God says, right here in the middle, it says, God says, live for me and quit thinking about self, in 2 Corinthians 5:15. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:15 and read that out of God's word. All right. But before we start reading that, I'm going to pray real quick and we'll get started. Father, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in class. We thank you, Lord, for our visitor, Tracy. Lord, I just pray that this class will be uplifting for her. And, Lord, help us all to glean something new out of your word. Help us to rely on you and put our trust and faith in you each and every day in our walk with you, Father. Lord, we just pray for those that haven't gotten to class yet or are not able to come today because of sickness or something else. Lord, I just pray that you give them a blessing, Lord. Help them, Lord, to be able to be in your word today because it is the Lord's day. Help us to focus on you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 5:15. Why do I want you to be Tracy? There we go. Stick. I'll get it. I think what it was is because the last little girl, he said her name was Tracy, and Tracy is stuck in my head. So I'm sorry. It's Rosie. Her name is Rosie, ladies. Rosie. Okay. It's like...
It's like a ring around
Rosie. There we go. It's a senior thing. It's just, you know. There we go. Oh my. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So even in that verse right there, we're to live for others. Our focus should be on what we can do for other people and how we can show Christ to others. So I'm less like lost in what I'm doing here. Oh, there's our cutie pie.
Oh, look at that.
Jellies, remember those?
Yeah. It goes on to say, are we stuck with what happened to us in the past? We can be. It says no, but we can be. We can't blame our troubles on low self-esteem if we belong to the Lord, because he's changed us. If we have Christ as our Savior, no matter if it's been 2 days since you got saved or it's been 25 years since you've been saved, you are a new creature. The way you think, the way you respond, the way you act, the things you do, all of this is, but it's a growing process. It's an ever-changing process that happens to us. We aren't complete in that change at the moment of salvation. The more we stay in his word, the more we attend Sunday school and church and we get things out of our lives that are negative and we add more positive in the Lord, all of those things cause a change in us. And how we learned in the first chapter about putting off and putting on. If there's something negative in your life, you need to put it aside, but you need to find something positive to put in its place. It's always important when you get rid of something in your life so you don't go back to it. You need to put something positive in its place, something that you can cling to, that you can hold on to. And it could be as easy as whenever I think about this other thing, I say a verse or I sing a song in my head. Or, you know, it's like we're bombarded by things we can't even go to the grocery store without, you know, the music that they play in the grocery store or in the doctor's office or wherever you are. And it conjures up memories and things in your life, especially if it's not something that edifies the Lord. And that's very hard to find in the workplace, in wherever you know, go to the store. it's very hard to hear uplifting music that edifies the Lord in these kinds of establishments. So, but if you can sing a hymn in your, even if it's the chorus, over and over and over again, but it helps focus your mind on Him and not going back to what this song conjures up from your past or makes you think about or something. So it's never easy. It's just something that we have the Lord's help to be able, we can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. We just have to get to the mindset that, yes, I can overcome these things in my life that tend to bring me down and cause me to sin. I can overcome them, but I can't do it by myself. I can't do it alone. I have to have my sisters help me. I have to have the Lord help me. I have to be able to acknowledge that I'm struggling. That's a big thing that women, we find hard to go to someone and say, please pray for me. And you don't have to get into details, but you can say, I could really use some prayer right now. And we know we need to pray for each other, but when someone specifically comes and asks you, can you pray? I'm really struggling with this. Can you just, but stop right then. If you have the opportunity right then and there, pray with her. Even if it's just a short prayer, but keep it on your heart that throughout the day when you think about her, you can pray for her. We have several ladies that have not been in our class recently. They started with us and they haven't been back to class. And I know they're having struggles. And I've been sending them cards and sending them little texts. But if all of us went out of our way to when we see them, class was good today, or we missed you in class today, just to, you know, to bring them up, you know, it could be just that there's something in their life that's, you know, a lot of us have been sick, and so we just, but if we look at other people and say, what can I do to make your life a little easier today, it gets us out of ourselves and what we feel is, you know, my life is a wreck kind of situation. And as we get further on into our book, the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to learn that we have every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit at the time of salvation. We just don't implement them all like we should. But they are one entity. They're not fruits. It's not plural. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But they're all contained together. And I have a visual aid that next week that I'm going to bring that will help everybody see that. Okay, so now in question 22, we have these wonderful verses that you guys were supposed to look up last week and write down what God says, how He sees us after salvation. This is what God thinks of us, these verses. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You can have the first one. 2, Tanya 3, Sharon 4. Rosie, can you read one? Number 5. Just count down 5. Bev, you got 6. Gloria, you want to do the last one, 7?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it'll be the Jeremiah verse. Okay. All right, so Jerry, how does God see us in John 1:12, ladies? That's the first one.
Said He sees us as the sons of God. Because right. Because we're saved.
Exactly. So isn't that wonderful? Now we're a son of God. We belong. I mean, yes, we're ladies and we're now a son of God. But we're a son or daughter of God. We belong to Him. He is now our Father. And, you know, it's like I haven't had a father in quite a long time. It's wonderful to know that He's always there for me. And I gave you number 2, right, Andrea?
Yes, did you want me to read it?
Yes, please. 1 Corinthians 3:16.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? I would think that that's talking about our bodies, our physical bodies.
Right, we're a temple.
Yeah, we're a temple, and He lives within us, and so we're doing things that are not pleasing to Him with our bodies. I think about how shameful that would be.
Well, exactly. It's like, okay, we have this beautiful church and we fixed it up and we try and we maintain it and we keep it clean and, you know, we're always looking out for, but we need to think of our bodies in that same way. It's like when we do things that are detrimental to our health, that we take our bodies and go do something that we shouldn't do. We're thinking, nobody knows I'm doing this.
Right.
Hello. God knows He's going
in us.
And he's right there with, and He's partaking of these things that, you know, we, oh, hello.
Hello. He'll strike us if we don't.
I know, it's there. God's getting our attention. All right, Miss Tanya, Romans 5:10.
Romans 5:10. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not good. Reconciled unto Him.
But we're no longer God's enemy. We're not on the outside. He looks at us with favor. He doesn't see us on, you know, we don't belong to Satan anymore. We're not on the other team. Basically, we're on God's team now. Sharon, Romans 5:1.
Yes. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I was just thinking that we're able to have the same peace that God has.
Exactly. Right. I mean, we're justified. And someone told me when I first got saved, the word justified is just as if I never, is what the meaning of justified is. It's just as if I've never sinned. That is how God sees me. And it's like, whoa, that's that, because he's put our sins as far away as the east is from the west. We're the ones that tend to hold on to them and keep them in our, you know, I did this, and oh, you know, and it's like, this is in my past, and I can't let go of that. We're the ones that are holding on to them. God's cast them aside. And every time we confess, He throws them out there to the yonder reaches, and there He doesn't remember them anymore. I mean, He knows all about us, but He's not remembering them. Like
dwelling on
them. He's not dwelling on them. He knows what we did, but He's not dwelling on them. We're the ones that do that. And it's those negative thoughts again that tend to bring us down and cause us not to feel like we can do things that we need to do. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Who's got that one?
Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ that be reconciled.
Only in Romans. Why nor is
the Lord?
I'm like, that doesn't read right, but I'm in the wrong verse. Oh, yeah, yeah. Right, and so what is that verse telling us? That we are to, we're ambassadors. And just like an right, we're a representative. We should be sharing Christ and letting others know who we belong to. We don't always get the opportunities that we would like, and we sometimes have opportunities that we don't take advantage of. When, you know, and sometimes it could be as simple as, I'd like to invite you to come visit my church. That's still being an ambassador. That's still acknowledging that you, church is important to you. The Lord is important to you. And you may only have 2 minutes to talk to someone, but you can hand them a tract. Here's an invitation. I'd really love to have you come visit my church. What they do with the track and what they do with that information is now in their hands. We've planted a seed. That's what Pastor is always telling us. We need to at least get the seeds out there. The seed needs to be planted. You may not be the one that waters that seed. You may not be the one that sees that seed come to fruition. But if no one plants a seed, none of that's going to happen. You know, if you're in a drive-through line, hand them a tract when you give them the money. I have them always in tracts in my purse, but I don't always tend to get them out fast enough. And I think about it later, man, I could have given them a tract and blah. It's like, you know. So it's like I need to find some place where I can keep them in my car, where they're readily accessible, that they're not going to get all messed up. So it's like I got to devise something to put in my car. Okay, and so then 21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that's Miss Bev.
Gave a track to a clerk at Walgreens one day, and it was the second one she had gotten that.
Oh, nice.
So that made me feel really good.
Oh, very good.
It went by me on Nexus.
Oh, okay, out by your house.
Maybe the pastor was through there, I don't know.
That's true.
Okay.
But anyway, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Oh, I like this verse.
So, we're righteous.
We're righteous. We're righteous. God, right, in him, in God, we are now righteous. We may not always do righteous things, but we are righteous in God. That's how God sees us. Because we have accepted him as our Savior. And Gloria, can you read Jeremiah 31:3?
Okay. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you.
An everlasting love. He loved us with an everlasting love. It's never going to end. It's never going to fail. It's always going to be there. That's very comforting to know that, because, I mean, we have friends, we have family, they say they love us, but their actions say otherwise, or they say, you know, it's like, I don't love you anymore, I don't want to, you know. And we can't help but feel that be that way because we're human. We can't do anything that's everlasting. Only God has that ability, but that's how he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting, unending, never failing, always there love that's never going to go away. And if we hold on to nothing else, we can hold on to that because of his love, he died on the cross, he left his glory in heaven, he sacrificed everything for us so we would have a way to be reconciled with him and end up in heaven. That's pretty amazing. And I think the farther we get in our Christianity, like the longer we've been saved, we tend to take it for granted in some ways. We don't feel that excitement when we were first saved, or you first realized your need for salvation and what Christ did for you, that overwhelming wow. We don't keep that. That isn't... When we start talking about it, we feel it again. But just in our day-to-day walk, I don't feel that as strongly the further I've gotten in my salvation as I did at the beginning. And I should. I should be able to conjure, you know, I should be able to feel that again. I should be able to pull that out when I need it, that... Wow, he died for me. Me. Who am I? I'm like, you know. But we hear pastor talk and my husband and several other the men, you know, it's like hell and, you know, I don't want to go to hell and all of that aspect of their sermons when they were saved. That's what got them. I heard the same message my husband did. Didn't even register. Mine was how much God loved me. And I couldn't get past the fact that he loved me so much that he would have died for me if I'd have been the only person here. And I couldn't get past that. I needed to have it. And that was the message that brought me to salvation, was just knowing how much God loved me and what he was willing to sacrifice for me. And I need to keep that fresher in my heart to help with just my walk and my devotion and my service and everything. I just need to keep that more constant in my thoughts, I guess. But that, it says, what image do you have of yourself in God, in God's eyes? And I wrote down, I'm special, I'm forgiven, I'm loved, I belong to him. It's just over it. There are just so many things that you can put down. It's just, I really like this chapter. This one has been really good for me. And the rest of this chapter is just kind of like things that she's had people that, not only people that she knew, but they've just written different things. It's just something that you guys can read. It's not something that we have to go over in class. There was one thing that I underlined from the beginning, this first one. It's on the page 26. Myself, it's right there, kind of in the second paragraph. It says, my self-worth comes from knowing who I am and to whom I belong. I know I am a poor, helpless sinner, saved by God's wondrous mercy and love for me at Calvary. Who am I? I'm a child of the King. To whom do I belong? I belong to the King. I'm his child. I am a princess. I belong to God. And he needs to be the most important thing in my life. Regardless of my family, my husband, my children, my work, my house, my everything, God needs to be first. And we get busy and God gets the leftovers. He gets the you know, well, I can give you about half an hour today, God. Well, what if he would have given a half an hour of his time and only, you know, he didn't want to die for us, or he didn't want to give everything for us. You know, he could have come down to this earth for the 3 years that he was here and went right back to heaven. He could have, you know, or the 3 years that he served. I mean, he was here on earth for longer than that. But, you know, he could have came down and saw the whole mess that was going on and said, no, I don't want to do this. And we would have no choice, no help, no. But he didn't. He gave everything for us. And so in our walk with the Lord, take time to reflect on what God means to you and how much time you can give him. And yes, we're busy. We have, and your time with the Lord may be sporadic in a sense. You may have time in the morning before you get ready to go to work, or you start your day, you may have X amount of time. Well, in the afternoon, you might have a little more time, or a little snatchet of time where you could read a little bit of your Bible, or you could go over the memory verses that we have in class and have for church. Even if you could take, you know, 5 minutes and read a memory verse over and over again, that's still focusing your mind on not what's going on in your life, but on him and his word. And then in the evening, before you go to bed, you may only have time to pray, or you may be able to read another chapter or another couple of verses. But at the end of your day, your focus is then again on the Lord and what he's doing for you and what he's done for you. Even if it's, thank you, Lord, for I had safety driving, I had safety at work, and you know, work was smooth, and you know, it's like my house is, I still have a home to come to, and I had food to eat, and I have a bed to sleep in, and the little things. I was so excited yesterday, I went to the mall and I got a parking space, like within, you know, I drove in the parking garage and there was a parking space, and I was like, yay, thank you, Lord. You know, and it just, but it's something as simple as that. You know, it's like the way our crazy traffic is, just running errands can be a chore just because of the traffic. You know, it's like, it's a wonder that, you know, there aren't more accidents the way some people drive. And so some of these other things, there's some nice things that, you know, if you've had these things happen to you. This one lady had a divorce. There's one that had sexual abuse. Some of these things are in people's lives that, and this, you know, the one person, it's like she'd been a pastor's wife for a long time. So you would think, you know, you see like Carmen and other pastors' wives that I know, and you think, oh, they just have, you know, it's like they know when their devotion time is, and they have all these ducks in a, you know, their life is just so put together. I have lived with some pastors' wives. I've been in really close contact with some of them, and they are no different than me. They don't have it all together. They still have the same struggles with walking with the Lord as we do. Our pastor has some of the same struggles that we do in walking with the Lord, finding the time that he needs to study, to pray for us, to pray for the ministry, to pray for his studies. There's so many things that he has going on in his life that we don't have a clue. The burdens that he has, the things that we share with him, all the stuff that gets pulled on him. And, you know, if nothing else, take 5 minutes throughout the day or more and pray for him. Pray for him and his family, because they, if anybody's being attacked in this church, it's them. And we may not always see the evidence of it, but, or he may not share that, you know, it was a struggle, but he prepares 1, 2, 3, 4 messages a week that he works on. He's got continuing messages that he has to refresh his mind on that we have. I mean, we've got the Acts study and the other ones we're doing, and his Sunday school class, and, you know, in men's meeting, all these things, and the, you know, the duties of the church and being the pastor and people calling him, and he has to go on visits, and it makes me tired just thinking about all the things that he has to do. And I get upset because, you know, my morning doesn't go right and I only can read my Bible for 10 minutes. You know, it's like, well, put yourself in his position. He's got to juggle all of those little balls and try to keep them all going on. So, Linda's trying to struggle, or Diana's struggling in the kitchen. So, okay, so our next chapter, this one, so we've been, chapters 1 and 2, it says we've been tilling the ground. We've been stirring it all up. We've been looking at our hearts. We've been getting the ground ready. And I love the title of this, chapter 3. I want to be spiritual now. Like, okay, yes, I do. I want to be spiritual. I want to be better than I have been. And our verse for chapter 3, so this will be our next memory verse, ladies, is Ephesians 5:18. So let's go there and read this together. Okay? I can find Ephesians. I have lost it. Like Ephesians 5:18. And it says, And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So here we are, we're getting closer to being filled with the Spirit. Our book is about the fruit of the Spirit, so we're getting closer to going into each one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit individually. So we've applied lessons 1 and 2 to our lives. We're starting to work on tilling the soil. But it's a process. It says that right there. It's a process. This is not going to happen overnight. And it's not. And just like a garden, if you don't tend to it and get the weeds out and till the ground and plant good seed, your garden's not going to grow anything. And our hearts are like that. If we don't keep the ground tilled, pull out the weeds, get the stuff out of our lives that shouldn't be there, our fruit's not going to be good that's going to be coming out. We're not going to produce things that the Lord's going to be honored with. So this spiritual journey is a journey. We've been on a journey. We know that. Right there in the second paragraph, we cannot become mature godly women in a day. There's no such thing as instant godliness. However, we can begin the spiritual journey to godliness now. We can start today. We can make it a priority. We can implement these things that we've been learning from God's Word. And you can always go back in your book and reread some of these verses that spoke to you. This book is yours. Write in it. Mark things up. Highlight things that you can go back to and look at and say, wow, that really spoke to me. I'm so glad that God said that to me. Use your book. Let it speak to you and your Bible and put them all together. This lesson, we're going to learn how to live an abundant, Spirit-filled life that God has planned for everyone. In Galatians 5:16 is where our fruit of the Spirit is. Galatians 5:16 is the start of it. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So God's instructing us to walk with the Holy Spirit, to put our feet to action. We need to, it's walking. Yeah, Galatians 5:16. There you go. Walking implies action. It implies, I can't sit. It doesn't say sit in the Spirit. It doesn't say sleep in the Spirit. It doesn't say I'll think about it in the Spirit, you know. But it says walk. That's an action. We have to do something. There's something required of us to walk in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there, but we have, it's a tandem. He's there, but if we're not walking in the Spirit, not with Him, it says in Him, in the Spirit. So it's implying that we have to do something. There's something that we have to get done, but it takes the first step. The first step is the biggest one. The first step is the hardest one in some aspects. Is you got it in your mind, I want to do this, I really want to walk in the Spirit, I want to do these things. But if I never take that first step, if I think it and I want to and it all sounds good, but if I never do anything about it, I'm right back where we started and I haven't accomplished anything. So it's a daily process. We have to take the first step, just as when the babies start to walk, they get up, they take a few steps, they fall down, they don't give up, they don't stop and never try again. They get up, they try it again, they get a little further, and it's a process, and it's a learning, and it's something that we can accomplish with God's help. And we just got to go back to, it's all the same stuff that we've been talking about. So we fall, we confess, we do something that's not right, we need to confess, we need to pick ourselves up, and we need to go again. It's a process, and we just have to be mindful that, and then we know that God's going to help us to learn to do that walking and give us the strength that we need, and His Word's going to guide us. And so, who can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Anyone. But they have to do something first.
They have to become saved.
Exactly. They have to accept Christ as their Savior so they can get the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in the Holy Spirit if you don't have Him. It's not something that you can just pick up, you know. You can't go to the store and buy some Holy Spirit. It's, you know, it comes as salvation. So, John 14, let's go to John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you. So, this first question says, after reading John 14, 16, and 17, complete this sentence. Today the Holy Spirit dwells
in
me. He does. Because He dwells in me. This is my book. He dwells in me. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, He dwells in you. If you haven't, we can fix that today. We can show you how to have Him in your heart if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. So, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the believer's life. When does He do that? Ephesians 1. Back after Galatians is Ephesians. It's the next chapter after Galatians. We want chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 1, 14, or 13 and 14. So when does the Holy Spirit take up residence in the believer's life? In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So, with that said, at the time that I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in my heart and in my life from that moment that I accepted Him. And now He is mine until we are redeemed and we are in heaven. Then we won't need the Holy Spirit's protection, His comfort, His guidance. We won't need that because we'll be with Him. We'll be with the Lord. We'll be with the Holy Spirit. We'll be with God. Amen. We'll have them all. We won't need to struggle anymore. All of this will be perfect. Will be perfect. So, and 2 Corinthians 5:17 says the same thing. It's upon salvation. So when I receive Christ as my Savior, that's when, therefore, if any man be in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's when I'm a new creature now. I belong to God. All right, question 3 on the next page. For whom is the filling of the Spirit reserved? Okay, so we're going to be in the book of John. Back to John. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. verses 3. John 3, 3. We all know this verse. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? We'll just keep going. So then Nicodemus asks him, Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we have to have a new birth, another birth. We have to be born of our mother to be alive. We have to be born of God to have eternal life. Our mother gave us life, but God's birth gives us eternal life, because we can't get that from being born. It doesn't happen. So we've all been born. We're all sitting here at this table. We are all alive. So we've all had one birth. If we have been born again and have the Holy Spirit, we have now had a spiritual birth. We have become, we now have a new father. We've been born again. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a new life. My life isn't the same anymore. So now we have a new birth, a new chance, a new prospect. We have a future that belongs to God and a future that's in heaven. We sure didn't have that when we were born, however many years ago that was.
And what, in 3:5, when it says, except a man be born of water, that means the natural birth.
That's your natural birth. Yeah, it's not talking about being baptized. A water birth, you are encased in water when you're born. That's your birth when you were born. That's your human birth, is born of water. That's how all of us came into the world. In a sack of water, we came out, and here we are. But a spiritual birth, that's the one that's... I mean, they're both very important, because if you didn't have one, you can't have the other. So it's not like one's more important. But one has the bigger reward. The one gets us to heaven, where the other one doesn't do that. So it just gets us right here. We're just here where we sit. So then I was going to do this experiment, but I don't think I have time for that. Maybe I'll bring it next week and we'll go over that. Okay, so nobody came in 5 minutes. Okay, so we're going to stop there just kind of go down here, read over this. You can answer some of these questions. We probably won't get much further than 30, 31. But remember that Ephesians 5:18 is our new memory verse.
I'm going to try and say the old
one. Oh, you want to say the other one? Okay.
Go for it, I guess.
Okay, so that
one. Is it Philippians 2:3?
Yes, ma'am.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
But
in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Perfect. Go ahead, Kathy.
I don't have all of it, but I got part of it.
You say as much as you can, sweetie.
Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. That's all I know.
Very good! Yay!
That's all I know.
Okay, and the last part is let each esteem others better than themselves.
I didn't
Perfect.
Know that part. But
that's
her, at least I know part.
But you did great,
you
Kathy.
Got the idea.
I'm
yeah.
proud of you. Very good. Got a mark on there. You said your memory verse. Yay.
How about me? Wait, let me read here.
Philippians 2:3. There
okay,
we go.
Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves.
Perfect. That was good.
It was close.
Thought you had me, didn't you, Miss Sharon?
She added a word, but she did good.
That's right.
That's right. All right, why are you not on my list here, Miss Beth? I know I wrote you down.
I'm always in the nursery.
It's just, I know.
Usually, yeah.
That's okay. I'm mother's.
Okay.
Evidently.
All right.
It's a good list, though.
Okay, it's a good list. Okay, ladies, we need to put our chairs up and move these tables around. And Miss Carlene, I brought your concordance, and you weren't here today. The padded chairs stay down. Yeah, the padded chairs, but the other ones have to go up on the Rosie, I'm so glad you were here to be in our class. If you're ever back in the area, you know. How long are you gonna? You don't live here. You live up in Flagstaff, right?
We do.
Okay.
Not for a long time.
Uh-oh. Well, you come back.
This way, remember?
That's right. You have a place to go.
Right. I'm just